Excuse me, if you please.
Yes, dear, what is it?
Is there been a telephone call for me? I am expecting a telephone call.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. There hasn't been a... No!
No! No, attendez, non! Vous ne comprenez pas?
We present Tony Asoba as Inspector Stranger in Stranger in the Dark by Robert Garrett. Stranger in the Dark.
It shouldn't be allowed, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it should not be allowed. I mean, look at that mirror. Shattered. Shattered. Is that fair, is it?
It's most unfortunate, sir. Can you tell me if you ever saw him before? I'm referring to the man who was shot.
Never. And that's another thing. I'll be frank. It annoys me. It really does. I mean, why this pub? I mean, a regular, let's say, for example. But not that I'd want it. I'm not saying that. But suppose, for example, one of your regular customers was shot. At least you could say to yourself, you know what I mean?
What do you mean, sir?
Like, well, he had it coming.
I see.
Do you? Do you see? The point is, I have to... I'm obliged to look at it from, well, a business angle.
It was awful. His face. His poor face.
About 5 feet 10 inches tall, you say, sir? Hmm? Black hair, dark glasses.
No, just a moment, Sergeant. Just a jolly tick. You're trying to put words into my mouth. Now, as it happens, unfortunately, as it happens, I didn't see any. Not a dicky bird. Simply having a drink.
Simply having a drink. You had your back to the killer when he came in?
Precisely.
How did you react when the barmaid screamed?
I don't remember her screaming. I'm afraid I didn't take much notice. Now, look, Sergeant, if you don't mind, I am rather late for a social appointment, and, well, quite honestly, I don't
really... But you turned round after the gun was fired.
Well, I may have caught a fleeting glimpse. Certainly no more.
Every little helps, sir. Did you notice the sort of clothes the killer was wearing? Do you remember the colours?
I shouldn't like to swear to...
We're not in court, sir.
Black. A black velvet suit with, well, now I come to think of it, rather wide lapels and a red tie.
Red tie. Good. That's very good.
And, it's hardly worth mentioning, really. Black leather driving gloves.
Did you see the car?
One of those Japanese jobs. Rather a neat little saloon. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking of getting one myself.
The colour?
Red.
What about the driver? Did you catch a glimpse of him?
No. There I can't help you. Look, does this wretched business have to go any further, Sergeant?
How do you mean, sir?
Well, the trouble is my wife. Look, I know it sounds ludicrous, but actually, I'm supposed to be in Potter's Bar.
Oh. Why?
Customer. Double glazing. Well, not really, you understand.
Well, I'm afraid that's something you're going to have to sort out for yourself, sir. This is a murder inquiry.
Where's Inspector Stranger?
Been and gone, sir.
Been and gone? Been and gone? What the devil's going on? Sergeant? Sergeant Gregory?
Been and gone.
Oh, good evening, Chief. They call you at home?
Yes, damn nuisance. I just got Zebra with a Z on a triple letter. What's going on, Sergeant? Have you seen outside? Press and television people everywhere. You get no peace tonight. Place stinks of vomit. Where's the body?
We shifted him into the landlord's kitchen, sir.
And where's Stranger? That's what I want to know.
The inspector had something he wanted to check out. Dr. Hamilton's still here.
I'm glad someone is. Evening, Eric.
Hello, Chief.
Is this the...
Hi. Not a pretty sight.
Oh, I dare say I've seen worse.
As you can see, the first bullet entered here, tearing away most of the stomach tissues. Death would have been instantaneous. The second bullet took away the left side of his face and lifted this section of the skull.
Hmm. Yeah, skin beginning to turn cold.
He's starting to stiffen now.
We haven't made any identification yet, sir, but one of the witnesses thinks he may have been French.
Huh? Clothes look shabby. Heels worn down. Any money on it?
No, not much. A couple of quid.
That's reasonable to assume from the condition of the hair and the skin and the fingernails that the man had been living rough. Though he had shaved recently, and there's no infestation of lice.
And nothing to identify him, Sergeant. No wallet, papers, bills?
Just a pair of gambling dice, sir. Silver dice.
Silver dice? Hmm. Doesn't make sense. Chap down on his luck. Badly dressed. Sergeant.
Sir?
See the ladies get an escort home. Oh, and make sure all stations in the London area have a description of the car that was used.
That's already taken care of, sir. I'll see to the ladies.
Oh, bad show, Eric. Damn bad. I wonder where that devil stranger's got to.
Oh, slice the beggar.
Oh, yes, Harold. Bad luck. You're in the rough.
Spoil my concentration. You watching? Don't like people watching. Listen, Inspector. Mr. Stranger. I come here to be alone. Get away from all the bustle and bother. I don't come here. You'll excuse me saying so, I hope. But I specifically don't come here to talk to coppers.
Oh, I know that, Harold. And I feel bad about it, disturbing your leisure time.
12 hours a day I work. 7 days a week. Pouring through the kind of stuff, most of it'll make you weep. When I go home, the wife nags me. Wants this, wants that. Wants a flea in her ear, that's what she wants. And my boy. 3,000 quid so he could buy a sports car. A sports car, I say. Same as my friends, he says. He says. Oh, yes, I say. Who are you running around with, then? He's at Cambridge now, didn't I tell you?
You did mention it, Harold.
Well, then. 3,000 quid. And I don't want to hear all that old guff, he says. What old guff? About how you never had it, he says. Ah, what do you do with it, Mr. Stranger? I ask you, what do you do? I started with nothing. I had to scrape and save and struggle for what I got.
Oh, I know. I know you have. How is the pornography trade these days, Harold? I heard things were a little tight.
You know the way it is. Too many people wanting too much too soon. Squeezes liquidity. Leaves you nothing to plough back. And the mail order's getting more trouble than it's worth. See, what happens? Suppose someone wants something frisky, right?
Right.
Yeah. They just pop round the corner newsagents, don't they? Oh, look at that. What bottom, stinking, lousy, rotten luck. I'm landed in the middle of a gorse bush.
You'll have to forfeit a shot.
Perhaps. Here, perhaps I could give it a nudge, eh? Shake the bush a bit. What are you after, anyway?
Well, you had a spot of trouble, Harold.
Oh?
Gunman walked into a pub on the Fulham Road and shot someone. I've been thinking. I mean, I've racked my brains, but I don't think I might pull a job like that. A professional job, Harold. Nothing left to chance, you know.
When was this?
About an hour ago.
Bloody hell.
That's exactly what it was. In front of a lot of ordinary people, too.
This is something which surprises me, Mr. Stranger. I'm genuinely shocked. I know some people aren't going to like it much either.
What about those people? Any of them been especially upset recently?
Definitely not. I would have heard. Besides, things aren't done like that, are they?
All the same, Harold. There's bound to be talk. There should be a lot of discussion taking place.
I'll keep my ear to the ground.
Good. I know I can trust you not to let me down. Doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter how trivial. Give me a ring.
All right, Mr. Stranger. I'll do that.
Noir.
It's a simple question. Where were you?
I'd better call my solicitor.
Okay, fine. You want to make it official? Fine. I'll ring back the station, ask them to post me a warrant.
Look, what is this? I'm a busy man. Busy, busy. You think I've got time to run on down the Fulham Road, blast someone, then dash back here?
Who said anything about the Fulham Road?
I tell you, I'm what? Doubling up on that. You know, it was on the radio, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, sir. This gentleman.
Hey, you! I don't want wrangles. The croupier's decision is final.
But it was my bet. I'm telling you my bet. I want to see the manager.
Either shut your trap or get out. I'm not having wrangles. There's Sherlock from Weybridge.
I insist upon seeing the manager.
I am the bloody manager, aren't I? Deborah, where is that girl? Deborah, get this gentleman his coat. He's leaving.
You haven't heard the last of this. I'll report you to the authorities.
Go on, get off before I get knocked. I'm sorry about that, Inspector. Even a club like ours gets the occasional frecker.
Oh, not at all, Joe. I thought you showed great diplomacy.
So I did. Well, then, where was we?
Down the Fulham Road.
Not me, Inspector. I only know what I've just heard.
Oh, yeah.
What?
This is serious, Joe. Really quite serious.
I know that. I'm not thick.
But you're telling me you didn't hear anything. Nothing at all.
Look, Inspector, now and then I might hear something. I might hear someone has done something to annoy someone else. And then, then there's bother. But this is not that. This is different.
Why?
You know why. Look, tell you what I think. Just my opinion, but what I think, it's political.
Oh, you've been watching too much television, Joe.
Perhaps I have, but that's what I think.
It's not enough.
Well...
Oh, I mean it. This business tonight, it really has upset a lot of people. And these people, they come to me, they want an answer. Any kind of answer I can give them.
Let go my arm!
I'm not having public executions, not in this city, you understand?
Yes!
I'm not having it. So you ask around, Joe. Because someone is going to get nailed for this, and I think you'd better make sure it's not you.
Hello?
Jean?
Oh, is everything all right? I just heard it on the wireless.
Right in the middle of my patch. I was just about to leave the office when the call came.
You'll be late.
Oh, I've got one or two more people to see, and then I'll have to go back. Jean?
Yeah?
Kids in bed?
Yeah, fast asleep. Are you all right?
I'm okay. See you later.
Okay, love. Take care.
All right, lads. Rose, sit down.
Thank you, sir.
God bless, Rose.
Thank you. Okay, let's begin at the beginning. Our victim. What do we know? Greg?
Well, a man in his middle 30s, 5'6" tall, weighed less than 9 stone, badly dressed, not much money, no identification papers, possibly French.
Why French?
Well, the barmaid, she said he spoke with a funny accent. And another witness, hang about, I've got it here, give it to you verbatim. He shouted something in French just before it happened. Something like, I don't understand or you don't understand.
Uh-huh. Rose.
Barmaid remembers him asking about a telephone call. He was expecting a telephone call.
Was there one?
No, sir.
Dick, you have anything to add?
Before you came in, sir, the man, there were two men, weren't there? One with the rifle and the other one who drove the car. What we were saying before you came in, sir, was we were saying that they knew, these two men, they knew exactly who they were looking for. Mm. It seems. It looks like that. And, knew where to find him. Obviously.
And what do you make of it?
Well, just that it was... everything planned, and the one who was shot because of the telephone call, someone crossed him up, someone who he probably... Well, no, he must have done. Someone he must have trusted. Well, a bit, anyway.
Tell you what bugs me. This was a gang murder, a job done by professionals, and not local. It's too brassy. The boys have never operated in this one.
So?
Well, I'd say we were dealing with a foreign mob.
Perhaps that's what we're meant to think. Any other suggestions?
Well, I can't think of anything. No.
Okay. Rose, I want you to get on to Interpol and the Paris police. See if they can come up with anything.
Yes, sir.
Dick, follow the usual form. Get some men from the DI and start calling upon a few of our friends. Press them hard. Shake them up. I want them shaken up. I want them feeling fragile.
Yes.
And Dick, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's all right, sir. with Barry being on holiday, I think I was thinking...
Go and do your worst.
Yes.
Oh, the chief wants you to ring him.
What sort of mood was he in?
Not happy.
That makes two of us. Oh, okay, Greg. It's been a long day. Go home and get some sleep. Perhaps things will look clearer in the morning. Chief?
Something wrong, my lad.
What?
I was followed. When I left the office, followed home. Sure of it.
Well, why the hell?
I don't know, my lad.
One man?
A car. Small car. Sports are what I saw. Keep your eyes open.
Yes. That's crazy.
And having adopted the Catholic faith, lost the right to... Oh, no. After adopting the Catholic faith, Rousseau forfeited the right to...
Working.
Oh, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, The Social Contract, part of this year's course.
Coffee smells good.
Well, you shouldn't have any. Keeps you awake.
Nothing's going to stop me sleeping tonight. Oh. Colin's cough any better?
Well, I let him play in the garden this afternoon. Now, just half a cup.
Thanks. What was the final score?
Oh, 109 for 2. Gooch was 50, not out.
I was hoping to get along there on Monday. No chance now.
Are you in tomorrow?
Looks like it. Oh, this is a nasty one, Jean. We haven't even identified the victim yet. I put out a few feelers. Spoke to some people I know. Not a murmur.
Oh, something will turn up. It always does.
Not always. The chief was in a funny mood.
Oh, he would be.
I don't think he trusts my methods of investigation. Doesn't believe in random selection.
Is that your method?
My method is to stumble around in the dark, praying for a gleam of light.
Ah, the moment of Satori.
What?
Satori. Comes out of Zen. The moment of enlightenment.
Oh, don't confuse me, love. I'm getting tired enough as it is.
Come in.
Morning, Chief.
Press cuttings. We picked up a few headlines, my lad. That business last night. Must have been a journalist. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Any callers?
Was some damn silly woman with a Ouija board. I said to her, Madam, I am not narrow-minded, but experience has taught me that no substitute exists for hard work and scientific analysis. After she'd gone, I found a Zulu stick on my pipe rack.
Oh, what?
Zulu stick, African charm.
Juju.
Juju, Zulu. What damn difference does it make? All damn nonsense. Had a pin sticking in its bottom.
Yes?
Caprini wants to speak to you, Inspector.
Well, well. Well. Okay, Joan, put him through.
I'm putting you through now.
Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Caprini. And how are you?
Sure, I feel okay. How about you?
Well, as a matter of fact, before you called, I was feeling just a little grouchy. But now I'm beginning to hear birds sing. What's the word?
You know the word, Inspector. Allison. Your detectives, they visited my club, upset my staff and clientele. Why is this so? I lose much money.
Perhaps you didn't hear. We had trouble last night, Mr. Cabrini. A Frenchman got shot.
French? What is this French, huh? What is this French? I am Italian, Inspector. My friends are Italian. I don't know this French. I know nothing of this.
Give me your word.
Sure, I give you my word.
Swear on the Bible?
I don't swear on the Bible, no. I give you my word.
All right. Tell you what you're going to do. You're going to use your organization...
I don't have an organization.
Your organization, Mr. Cabrini. And you're going to make a few inquiries on my behalf. I want to know who this Frenchman was and why he was murdered.
He's crazy.
Yes, come in. You owe me a favor and don't you forget it. Hi, good morning, Rose.
Formal acknowledgement from Interpol, sir.
Oh, thanks. Put it on the desk. Is Greg in yet?
Sergeant Gregory's just arrived, sir.
Oh, good, good. Anything from the Paris police on the telex?
We should hear from them later today.
I also thought, since we have telex communications with Lyon and Marseille...
You got in touch with them?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good girl. I should have thought of it myself. Right, this is what I want done. Check the artist's impressions are ready and start hawking them around the hospitals. Mm-hmm. Not just the hospitals, but any cheap hotels or boarding houses you know of. Take that medicine with you.
Right.
You give her a chance to become familiar with some of the groundwork.
Yes, sir.
And send Greg in, will you?
Yes, right.
Yes?
Gentleman won't give his name, sir. Insists on speaking to you personally.
Ask him what it's about.
Yes, sir.
Oh, morning, Greg.
Morning, sir.
Take a seat.
I've got the ballistics report and the morning papers.
What do ballistics say?
Well, so far...
Yes, Joe?
The gentleman says it's about last night, sir.
Okay, put him through.
Yes, sir.
No trace of the car, I suppose?
No.
Hello? Hello, who am I speaking to?
This is the Red Panther. It was me that shot the French bloke.
What for?
An international conspiracy, isn't it?
What sort of conspiracy?
Against foreigners.
Ring the express, mate. They'll love it.
Joker?
Second this morning. Oh, hell. Don't tell me, I can guess. It's the Spotted Jackal.
Hello? Inspector?
Oh, Dr. Hamilton. Good morning.
What was that about a jackal?
Nothing, Doctor. Is the autopsy report complete?
Ready and waiting. Shall I read you the relevant details?
I'll be along. 10 minutes.
They used a Winchester pump gun.
A Winchester pump?
Uh-huh.
How would they get hold of a gun like that, Greg? If no one in this city could supply it.
I don't know.
Well, we're going to have to find out. And we need to identify our victim. Get a pavement rota organised. Rope in as many men as you can. You know where to go.
Yes, sir.
I was able to examine parts of the stomach wall. Our man hadn't eaten in the previous 24 hours. Or touched alcohol.
Was he a drinker?
Well, some deterioration of the liver, slightly above par for the course, even for a Frenchman. More interesting, perhaps, was the evidence of gonorrhea, quite far advanced. By that I mean 4 to 5 months. Oh, and there were porcelain crowns on his teeth, something I failed to notice last night.
Curious. The expense of dental work, I mean.
Yeah.
Any sign of drug addiction?
No, whatever. There was tuberculosis at some stage in his childhood. There was mild inflammation of the bronchial tubes. You'll find it all in my report, Inspector. And now, if you'll excuse me.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Doctor.
Sir, they've found the car, sir. Pardon me, sir. The car which
How was... do they know?
I'm not sure, sir. The one, Ogden, sir, he sounded pretty convinced.
You better be right. Okay, Constable, thank you. Tell him I'm on my way. Yes.
See for yourself. It's parked just off the High Street.
That fits our description. Right, lads. Start making house-to-house inquiries. Try and find out when this car was parked. And listen, it's not often these people get careless, but I've known it happen. So be careful. Any problems, don't argue. Just withdraw quickly and quietly. I don't want anyone getting shot.
Smith, take numbers 3, 5 and 7. Wainwright and Mills do that block of flats opposite. Joe, try that row at the far end. I'll do these here.
All right. What makes you so sure?
I tried the boot. Always carry a set of keys on me. Never know when they might come in handy.
That's against the rules.
Ah, I know.
What did you find?
A travelling bag containing one navy blue suit, black shirt, suede jerkin, white roll neck sweater, red tie. Different sizes, all labels removed.
Okay, let's have a look. What did you say your name was, Constable?
Ogden.
Yes. Yes, looks promising. How long have you been on the force?
8 months up there. Before that, 3 years in Liverpool.
Navy blue. Navy blue. And all our witnesses said black.
Well, why did you transfer?
Wanted a bit more action.
Mm. Married? Going steady?
Neither. Why?
Yeah, one of my lads is on holiday. I need a replacement in the squadron. Someone to sit by the telephone 24 hours a day. See that the chief gets two sugars in his tea. Fancy a temporary transfer?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. I'll have a word with the station chief.
This is Mrs. Pine, sir.
Hello.
Mrs. Pine saw the car being parked yesterday evening, sir.
Yes, about 7:10. Our Maggie was gone to this birthday party, see, and I expected her back by 7. I was standing by the window, waiting.
Maggie's your daughter?
Yes. I've got two boys and a girl. Maggie's the eldest. She's 7 next month. Where was I?
Standing by the window.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, see, on Saturdays, Terry's my husband. I hope I'm not confusing.
No, not at all, Mrs. Pine.
Well, Saturday's his snooker night. Otherwise, he'd have gone and fetched her, and the boys were already in bed. I was thinking of asking next door. They have a telephone, see, but I didn't like to, because we've had a row about their cat. It keeps doing its business in our garden.
So you were standing by the window, waiting for Maggie to come home from her friend's birthday party?
Yes, that's when I saw this car being parked. I didn't take much notice. I mean, people are always parking down this street, especially on Saturdays. I thought he might be visiting someone in the flats over there. But he walked back towards the high street.
One man?
Yes, he's sort of tall, gangly-looking bloke. Yes, gangly. There wasn't anything particular, you understand. Though I was a bit surprised to see it still here this morning.
Mm. What time did Maggie come home?
Oh, Mr. Wilson brought her back about 20 past. He was ever so nice about it. Hoped I hadn't been worried at all, you know. She had a smashing time.
What's going on, then?
Oh.
Everything all right, Anne?
Mr. Pine? I'm Inspector Stranger. Your wife's giving us some valuable information about a stolen car.
Oh, so I was right. I thought it might have been.
A bloody fuss about a car, innit? Hey, the potatoes are boiling. What shall I do with them?
Well, turn the gas down a bit.
Right. Got a bloody fuss about a car, I must say.
I won't keep you much longer, Mrs. Pine. You say he was a tall, gangly man.
Yes.
Can you remember anything else about him?
No, I can't honestly say I do. I was thinking more of Maggie, see. Oh, look. There it is again, that cat. It's just like I told you, it ruins the flowers.
Yes, I can see. It must be a proper nuisance. Are you sure there's nothing else you remember, Mrs. Pine? Nothing about his hair or clothes?
No. Oh, wait a minute, dear me, what am I thinking of? Yes, his hair, of course.
What about his hair?
Well, he didn't have any.
He was bald?
Yes, that's it, he didn't have any hair.
Do you think you might recognise this man again, Mrs. Pine?
Oh, well, I might. I'm not sure.
Well, suppose we do this. Suppose I ask one of our police women to bring you around a book of photographs to look at.
Oh.
You could tell her if any of the faces seem familiar.
Oh, I don't know. I'm very busy, see. You know, the kids.
I understand just how it is, Mrs. Pine. I've got two myself.
Oh.
But it would be a help. And there's sure to be a small reward.
Oh, well, all right. But not this afternoon. Terry's mum's coming to tea and she doesn't like the police.
Tomorrow?
All right, then, yes. 11 o'clock would be all right after I've done the shopping.
That's lovely. I'm really very grateful. Say 20. During which time they knock someone off, stop somewhere to change their clothes, split up and go their separate ways. Could have changed in the car, I suppose. Possible. Not likely. Seven minutes in light traffic.
Leaves them 13.
Long enough to stop off somewhere. Okay. Assume they planned their route in advance.
Knew exactly.
Well, they would have. All right. They come down past Chelsea Football Ground. Either continue along Fulham Road or turn into
New King's Road. Across the bridge at Putney.
But somewhere
along the route, they stopped to change their clothes and separate. Drop the rifle, perhaps. Better drag the river at Putney. One public toilet en route. Could have stopped there. No, I don't like it. Doesn't fit the picture. What picture?
Where else, then?
Not a hotel. Too conspicuous. Rented room, perhaps. Not so many rented rooms available these days. Ought to be able to get a list. Okay. We draw a line. A radius within, say, half a mile of where the murder took place. Comb the whole district. Short of men, though. Have to speak to the chief. Hello. It's starting to rain again.
Foxtrot 4. Foxtrot 4, come in, please.
This is Foxtrot 4. Go ahead, Dick.
Message from Marseille Police, sir. Positive identification of victim. Name, René Pacow. That's P-A-C.
It's not over the air, Dick.
Oh, sorry, sir. I've asked Marseille to forward all details, sir.
Right. Call everyone back in and get in touch with the chief for me, will you? I need to speak to him.
Damn this rain. Dampen the wicket. Make the ball lift and turn. Well, what have we got?
One of life's losers. Seems he tried just about everything, short of selling the Eiffel Tower. Convictions for dealing in stolen goods, attempted fraud, living off immoral earnings. He even tried peddling packets of talcum powder to drug addicts. Look at this insurance swindle. Look at the sum involved. The equivalent of £100. That's ridiculous. Everything the man attempted was small and petty and uninspired. They must have got tired of pulling him in.
What about this gambling? What does that tell us?
Same old story. I've got a theory about gamblers. Well, it's what my wife says.
Never mind your wife's theories. Did he owe money? That's what I want to know.
I could ask the Marseille police to try and find out. Or go down there myself.
What?
Go down there myself. Poke about a bit. See what turns up. He lived in the same city all his life. There should be people, though. People who'd know whether he owed money.
Well, it's something which might take a day or two to authorize. I can't do it myself. What else? Now, you found the car.
Thanks to some smart work by Constable Ogden. I've asked for him to be brought in on this. He's bright. And I need a temporary replacement for Barker.
Ogden? Yes, met him 5 minutes ago, slouching about the corridor. Insolent young devil. Needed a shave. You need a shave, Constable, I told him. Haven't had time, he said. Haven't had time or what? Haven't had time, Chief Inspector, he said. No excuse, told him. No excuse. Oh, blast this rain.
I think we need to make a search within a half-mile radius of where the murder took place. These men, I'm guessing, of course, but they may have rented a room close by. An escape hatch in case things went wrong, or somewhere to change their clothes.
Well, did you have half a dozen chaps from DI?
I need at least a dozen, Chief. There's a lot of ground to cover.
Can't do. Already spread too thinly. There's damn bank raids, armed raids. A lot of money stolen.
Nobody killed.
It makes a little difference, Inspector. Money, property, comes before human life, and don't forget it. Well, it's not my philosophy, but the law.
This is different, isn't it? A man gunned down in public. It's attracted attention. Might even be a question in the House.
3-day wonder. In the papers, on television, public quickly forgets. Too many other things to worry about. Whereas the banks, well, you know what they're like. Nope, 6 men, all I can spare.
I better get started then. You know, I've got a funny feeling about this case. A nasty feeling. As if we've touched the tip of an iceberg.
A distrust feeling. Always have. Stick to the facts. Pursue a logical train of thought. And never be afraid to look the obvious in the face. It works. You'll find it works 99 times out of 100.
Okay, Chief. Thanks for your time.
I've had a rebellion on my hands this afternoon. Miriam's mother gives Miriam a pound pocket money. Why do I only get a 40p? Honestly, I think it's ridiculous. Giving a child of 8 that much pocket money.
I don't like these, Mummy.
Oh, I'll put them on the side of your plate.
I'm not hungry anymore.
All right. But you sit there till Daddy and I finish.
Can I play with Tigger?
Now sit still.
No.
Anyway, it's nearly time for your bed, young man.
I want to play with Tigger.
Do what your mother tells you. Is the water on?
Yeah, it should be hot. It's been on an hour.
I need a bath. Feels like I've tramped up half the stairs in Fulham this afternoon. Oh, some of those places. There's a company. They seem to own 3 or 4 streets in the Broadway. The rents they charge are wicked. £40 a week for a single room with a sink in one corner.
Oh.
Tenants moving in and out all the time. Hopeless trying to keep track.
Tigger! Tigger, come here, Tigger.
Remember that awful place we lived in when we first got married?
The mice under the floorboards. I'll never forget.
Oh,
I'll get it. Probably the office.
How we used to lie in bed listening to them scuffle about. Scuffle, scuffle, scuffle.
No, don't worry. It makes me tickle.
Hello?
And there
what?
Was one very old
one. Oh, that was quick.
It went like this.
No.
Charter flight?
No.
You'd think it was his own money. No, it doesn't bother me.
No, stick it under there.
Yes. Yes, I'll collect it myself.
Shh. Want to hear what Daddy's saying?
Okay. Fine. Thanks. The Chief. They booked me on a charter flight midday tomorrow. Going down to Nice. Getting a train from there to Marseille.
Well, that was quick. Do the old mouse again, Mummy, please.
I'd better leave some instructions. Not going to be much time in the morning.
You'll be careful, won't you?
I'll be very careful. Just a foreign city, love. No worse than London.
You know London.
Hello, Joan. Oh, it's you, Peggy. Anyone at the desk? Is he? Good. Yes, please.
Darling. You asleep?
I was. What's the matter?
I'm probably being silly. I meant to tell you. There was a car.
What?
He was parked near the house early this afternoon. And there was a man. A tall man, rather thin. And he seemed... Oh, no. That sounds silly.
Watching the house?
Well, I don't know.
How do you know he was tall?
Just an impression, I suppose.
Did you get the car number?
Yeah, I wrote it down. A piece of paper's in my open pocket.
Hello? I see. Thank you.
Well?
False number plate. Listen.
What?
You'd better take the kids away for a few days. Take them to your mother's.
Why?
Till I get back.
For heaven's sake. What is it?
I don't know. Someone. Something. I don't know.
Inspector Spencer.
Yes?
I am Inspector Arthur Zul. Thank you,
Monsieur. Glad to meet you.
Bon. Oh, is this all you carry?
Yes, this is all I carry.
But with the English, always an umbrella, no?
Well, not always.
Is there somewhere we could sit down for a few minutes, sir? I'd appreciate a glass of beer.
Of course, no problem. The boss sent me because I speak English. See, this man is okay, he says. Anything you want, you only ask.
Thanks for the hospitality, Inspector. But we can talk in French. I understand French.
No. I must have the practice.
Okay. Tell me something about René Paco. You knew him?
Pardon?
I said, you knew him? You knew René Paco?
Paco, yes. In English, you would say Jack of all the trades, yes?
Yes.
I pinch him twice. One time he's bouncing checks. Second time he's more serious. He pushes pills in the discotheque. Bad stuff. We put him away for 1 year, breaking rocks. We get a bad business down here. The syndicates, you understand, all the time. Ships come in, ships go out. It's big money, much corruption.
Was Paco connected with the syndicates?
Oh, they're not so crazy.
Then what?
How can I say? You want more beer? Maurice, De Pierre? Let me say like this. The syndicates, these are big sharks, yes?
Uh-huh.
Very big, very dangerous. Paco is the little fish. He swim in the eddy. Eddy?
Uh-huh.
Ah, oui, oui. He take the scraps which the shark don't want. Merci, Maurice.
That's also very dangerous.
Perhaps it is, but he understands the habits of the shark. He knows, how would you say, to make not seen.
To make himself invisible?
Sure. There are many like this.
I see. So you don't think, he got himself in trouble with these people?
No, he would not do this.
Did he owe money?
Much money, no. A little money, perhaps. We all owe a little money.
He gambled?
Yes, but people don't lend to him.
His credit was bad.
Exactly. His credit was bad. He had no credit.
I see.
You must understand, this was a very foolish fellow. After he's come out from jail, I'm hoping he has learned something. For a little time, he's more careful. He becomes manager for two girls. You understand? I see him at the nightclubs. He's wearing the snappy clothes, smoking a fat cigar. He shakes my hand, buys me a drink, makes a joke. Naturally, I know what he does. But his old game, I am not, missing sleep because of this. I turn the blind eye. But with Paco, nothing is good for much time. He fight with his girls, all is finished. The last time I see him, he is without money. His face is long and very sad. I give him 10 francs.
When was this?
Oh, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, perhaps longer.
And what about the two girls? Are they still working?
Only one, Ellen Tivoli. The other, I think, has gone. Gone?
Yes.
Ah, oui. To Lyon.
Can I ask what your feelings were? Did it surprise you when you heard of Paco's murder?
Oh, it's very difficult to say. Paco, he understood how to survive. He's always having problems, but nobody hates him. You understand?
Yes, I understand that.
But there is something wrong inside his head. The cognitive process is wrong. He does not learn from experience. He makes the old mistakes. So, I think this, but it's the same with many people now.
Were you surprised?
When a man is murdered, we may always find the reasons. It's a cause and effect. Our character holds the secret to our fate. You see, I am the philosopher.
Something I've often thought about. But is our character determined by our upbringing?
Oh, I think so. Is habit, making good habits and bad habits. You know, the people who can't like cruel children. Well, I ask myself, what hope exists for them? They know not how to love.
Yeah, but is it everything? Or can the lame take up his bed and walk?
Is a religious question.
Yes, I suppose it is. You manage another beer?
Ah, sure, I get it.
No, my round. Deux bières, s'il vous plaît. Oh, it's been a long day.
Oh, I forget. You have come far. You are tired.
No, I feel wide awake. Must be the change of air. Ah, merci, monsieur. I'd like to see this girl, Hélène Tivoli. The girl you told me about.
Now?
Oh, I can drop my bag at the hotel and go on from there. It's what, not yet 10 o'clock.
Ah, no. It's better that you sleep. This girl, she may be anywhere, but in the morning you can find her at the Hotel Moderne.
What sort of girl is she?
Sly and deceitful.
What's she look like?
Let me say this. She does much business. She is not pretty, but...
It's better I see her in the morning.
I think so, yes.
Damn the sauce bottles. Why are they always clogged up?
Chief Inspector?
I'm not here. I'm having my lunch.
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir. The rifle's been found, sir.
Oh, good.
In the river at Putney.
Excellent. Any word from Inspector Stranger yet?
Not yet, sir. I'll let you know as soon as there is.
Miss Tivoli. Miss Tivoli.
Yeah. Oh, just a moment. Who is it? What is it you want?
Detective Inspector Stranger.
Police. Why must I always be bothered by police?
A few questions, mademoiselle. It'll only take a minute.
I'll come back later. I'm not in the mood. Oh, it's too early. Oh, very well.
Put some clothes on. There's a good girl. I want to talk about a friend of yours, René Paco.
Oh, that thieving rascal. What's he done now? Oh, my head, it aches. Makes himself more trouble, I bet. Now, where's my dressing gown?
On the floor. Oh. Over there by the window.
What time is it? Oh, my head. Another hot day. Ah, yes. Another warm one. Where are you from?
From London.
Ah, yes. Don't mind if I get back into bed. My head aches. It's too early. Throw me a cigarette, will you? I can't think properly without a cigarette. Ah. Merci.
When was it you met Paco?
Three months ago.
Where?
Oh, you would have to come at a time like this. Let me think. Yes. He came into the bar one evening, the place across the street. I usually stop by there for a coffee before starting work. He carried a camera and boasted about being a photographer for Playboy magazine. You know Playboy?
Yes.
They all say something or another, one story or another. What do I care? I told him to go away. I was already in a filthy mood because of the concierge. But I pay my rent, don't I? Is it any business of hers where the money comes from? Nasty old witch. And she never cleans the stairs. She's supposed to. You can sit down, you know. Just throw those things on the floor.
What did Paco say?
Oh, he said he had an idea which I should consider. A clever plan for getting rich and all perfectly respectable. He had a friend, someone he knew. Oh, well, never mind that. The idea was to start an escort agency for businessmen.
You agreed?
I wanted a change. I was getting tired of the same old faces.
So, what happened then?
Paco rented an apartment on the Boulevard de la Mer. Oh, quite a swanky place, I must admit. There was another girl as well. She called herself Aloise, but that wasn't her proper name. No, I never found out her proper name. Anyway, we take them back there.
Your clients?
Yes. But this is what we didn't know. Paco, the filthy swine, was hiding behind one of the mirrors and taking photographs of all that went on. No wonder he was laughing at us.
Diaphanous glass.
Can you imagine it? Stooping so low.
What did he do with these photographs?
Well, how should I know? But they weren't in Playboy because I looked. What's he done, anyway?
He's been shot.
Dead?
Yes.
In London?
Yes.
My God. You don't know who did it, then?
Not yet. Can you tell me, why would he have gone to London?
Oh, I don't know, I swear to you. I once caught him pinching money from my handbag. Oh,
did he owe money?
Oh, he never stopped gambling. It was all or nothing with him. When he won, he would spend, and when he lost, he would try to borrow from everyone he knew.
These clients of yours, the businessmen Paco arranged for you to entertain, were any of them English?
Oh, there were some foreigners, yes. Germans, Americans, all English too, I think. Yeah.
How was it all arranged?
Oh, questions. You never stop, do you? Oh, he was friendly with a porter at one of the big hotels. A fellow named Gaston. You can work the rest out for yourself.
Renseignements généraux, please. Inspector Arthur Zool's office.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, is that Inspector Stranger?
Yes.
Inspector, how does things go?
Listen, Arthur Zool. I want you to run a check for me. I want a list of all British residents who stayed at any of the 4-star hotels during the months of May and June.
Sure, we have this information on our computer with no problem.
Good. Hello?
Yes?
Can you spare a man to do a tail job for me? I want Hélène Tivoli followed.
I will send Dubois. He is the best man for this.
Thanks. I'll be waiting in the Bar San Remo, opposite her hotel.
Yes, we know it. I send Dubois.
Excuse me, monsieur. This is the staff room. Guests are not permitted to the hotel staff room. This is for the staff, monsieur.
I know, Gaston.
Who are you from? I don't see you before. If you're from Diderot, I already settled. I already paid the 500.
Who's Diderot?
Wait a minute. What's this about? Wait a minute. You're a cop. But you don't know Diderot? Wait a minute. You're English, aren't you? I can tell. We get plenty English here. What do you want with me?
I've been told you can fix me up.
Fix? How? What way? Fix?
Come now, Gaston. Let's not waste time. I know all about the racket you and René Paco were working.
Paco? I killed the bastard. I don't know what you're talking of.
Come now, we both know what's been going on.
You can't prove none of this.
Don't be childish, Gaston. You don't have to prove it. Not to make your life uncomfortable.
Look, I swear to you, I haven't seen Paco in a month. Besides...
Yes?
Well, what is it to me? If one of the hotel guests, any one of them, you know?
Uh-huh.
Should say to me, hey, Gaston, where do we get some fun in this city? And I reply, okay, I know a fellow who can put you onto a good time. Well, what's in it for me? 10 francs, 20 francs, maybe another 20 from Paco? Is that wrong? Does that make me a criminal? I got a wife. I got 3 kids. What do you think? You think these people are so generous? I had a woman this morning. She wanted flowers, carnations, and to be carnations. So I ran halfway across town to get these carnations because she's in a big hurry. She's got to have them, you know? Well, I come back with 2 bunches, beautiful, beautiful flowers. And she says to me, is this the best you can do? Doesn't trouble to thank me, just turns away. You see, that's what I am to these people. Dirt, nothing but dirt.
Want to make a statement?
What?
A statement. Back at the prefecture. About your association with René Paco.
I see. I know you now, I see.
Gaston, if you give yourself a kick, it's no good grumbling afterwards. You were associating with a known criminal. You involved yourself in a prostitution racket. For all I know, you might even have helped Paco blackmail these people.
Blackmail? What are you talking of, blackmail?
Ah, you disappoint me, Gaston. I've always had a lot of respect for hotel workers. Of people in your profession. Know why? Because they have a keen insight into human behavior, a quick understanding. But you, you're telling me you didn't know what sort of person you were dealing with.
All right. Okay. I admit I have my doubts.
Then why?
Why? Why? I needed the money, of course. Why else?
You owed money?
To that bloodsucker Diderot. 2,500 francs.
Who is this man, Diderot? Where do I find him?
He runs a poker game. Different places about town. One day one place, another day another place. You gotta know a number. Look, I'm telling the truth. I wasn't involved in blackmail.
Okay. Let's start again at the beginning. Tell me all you know. If you're honest with me, I'll be fair to you. Now, that's reasonable, isn't it?
Chief?
Yes, Sergeant Gregory, what is it?
Well, could I have a word with you? It's about the rifle, sir. I asked around.
Yes?
There's only one group of people might use such a weapon.
Who?
Secret Service, sir. Security branch.
Blackmail seems to have been the motive.
But
something or someone is missing. I don't know. Feels like I've been chasing my tail all day. Inspector Belen Tivoli. Well, you know that.
Uh-huh.
The chief put me in touch with a porter at the hotel. He, in turn, mentioned Henri Diderot.
Ah, you meet Diderot.
What can you tell me about him?
I'll tell you, Inspector.
Oh, thank you. Would he have a man murdered?
Oh, he would have a man hurt. The fingers, you understand, or perhaps the legs. But murder, no. For Diderot, murder is the bad business.
Hmm. Anyway, I found him fixing bets in the back room of a bar, over in the immigrant quarter. At first, he wouldn't say much. Then he started grumbling about some 50 francs Paco owed him. After a while, he gave me another name. The fruit seller, Vecchio.
Ah, yes, we know him.
According to Diderot, Vecchio and Paco were very thick for a time.
Uh-huh.
Well, that wasn't the way Vecchio told it. He claimed he'd also lent Paco money and then seen nothing of him since.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, to cut a long story short, this Vecchio says I ought to visit a certain nightclub owner living out at Pointe Rouge.
Ah, Brugeau, yes. He makes the blue films. You say blue?
Uh-huh.
Blue films.
Well, so I went out there. Here's a house built like Fort Knox, you know that. A couple of great Danes prowling about the gardens. Well, it took me the best part of the afternoon to get to see Bruegel. And know what he tells me? He tells me I should talk to Hélène Tivoli.
And Hélène Tivoli is gone. 1 hour after you are seeing her, she makes to run. First, she visits our solicitor. He is English, practice here for years, a drink problem. Then she makes a Paris train. Our man Dubois, he follow all the way. A good man, Dubois. He is telephoning me 1 hour ago.
Well, the question is, where does it leave us?
Ah, very difficult. Here is the list you request. 187 names of British residents who stay in the four-star hotels during May and June.
Good.
Some I think you need not to count.
Why not?
34 come with the family. Another 9 is ladies. It leaves 144.
23 from Gaston's hotel. Can I telex these through to London? We'll need to begin full inquiries into each man's background.
Oh, sure, no problem.
Yeah. Names, names, and more names. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. What about this solicitor Hélène Tivoli saw before she left? Anything on him?
No, nothing. You want a pen?
No, I've got one here. Somewhere.
Hello?
I better mark off these. Give them priority.
Oui? Oui? Un moment. Speak of the devil. It is Hélène Tivoli's solicitor. He asked for you.
An unusual choice of rendezvous. As you say, somewhat remote.
Oh, quite, quite. But one must be discreet. You have come alone, I hope.
Yes.
Good, good. Very good. Then I'm sure this little transaction can be amicably settled.
And that depends on what you have to sell.
Sell, yes. Ah, yes, indeed. No beating about the bush for you, eh? Straight to the point and so on and so forth. Quite, quite. Quite as it should be. Man after my own heart. Oh, but where are my manners? You'll have a drop of gin, no doubt?
No, thanks.
A consolation in one's middle years, Mr. Stranger. Balm to the heart. London's finest export, eh?
You represented René Paco.
Ah, very sharp. Precisely so, Mr. Stranger, precisely. So, let's go to my car. The night air, don't you think? A trifle chill? A perfectly orthodox arrangement, you understand. Looking after certain documents. Documents, yes. All perfectly fair and above board. I don't think you'd quarrel. 10,000 francs. What I want. What I insist. Absolutely. 10,000.
For these documents.
For a specific document. The other items. Pictures. Photographs. Worthless. Worthless. Rubbish. I know about these things.
And this document, or a copy of it, was used in an attempt to blackmail someone?
Ah, there. Who can tell? I never ask questions, Mr. Stranger. Dear me, no. No. But I can see you're a reasonable sort, and isn't this the way things should be? I'm a reasonable chap myself. Ask anyone. Anyone will tell you I am a reasonable chap. $5,000, then. I don't wish to be greedy. Though Mr. Paco assured me this document is worth at least $500,000.
Mr. Paco assured you?
There, I admit. up to a point. How shall I put it? Extenuating circumstances, so to speak. A deprived childhood and so on and so forth. I do not judge my fellow man, Mr. Stranger. Seen too much of it. Much too much. We are, as Spinoza so ingeniously explained, subject to inadequate or partial causes. That is, yes, take my word on it. 2,500. What could be fairer?
I'm not sure you appreciate how serious things are. Remember, I saw what was left of Paco, and it wasn't pretty.
Pretty, no. Not pretty.
You see, these people, I don't know who they are, but I do know this. They react in a very violent manner.
Oh, dear. Dear me. Violent, yes.
Very.
And, if I were to reveal, my name, my reputation, you understand, as a man of the law, certain privileges, so to speak.
Your name can be kept out of it, if that's what you want.
Want? Oh, yes, dear me, yes. Then, taking all factors into consideration, 1,000, what?
500.
8. I insist, absolutely.
650.
Agreed. 650. Fully in accordance with the highest principles. 650, yes.
But first, I see what I'm buying.
Oh, a sample copy, naturally, of course. Quite the way it should be. In my pocket. Here. Yes.
Okay, let's have a look at it. Report prepared by the Anglo-French Institute of Oceanographic Research concerning the further development of very low-frequency waves and enabling member states to undertake... What's this? A new concept in ships' inertial navigational systems, with particular emphasis upon adaptations in respect of submarine communications. How the hell did Paco get hold of this?
Ah, there. There one can only speculate. Supposing, that is, hypothetically, or let me put it this way. A certain gentleman, in the course of visiting a young lady's apartment, well, there you are.
What?
Oh, dear, you're feeling me crass, but the money, you understand, all this, an optional extra, so to speak.
You're a wicked old villain. I'll build it up to 1,000 francs, not a centime more.
Ah, most generous, yes, indeed. Well, then, this certain gentleman in, as I was saying, in the course of visiting the young lady's apartment, and afterwards should happen to forget his briefcase.
What?
Quite so. Nevertheless...
Just a minute. You're telling me that a briefcase containing secret papers was left in Ellen Tivoli's bedroom?
Incongruous as it may seem. Yes.
I don't believe it. It's something out of a Whitehall farce. How many pages?
In total, that is, altogether, 140.
And you have in your possession the original document?
A photocopy, unfortunately. Just
what did Paco do with the original?
There again, one would need to speculate. Victoria Station, perhaps? The left luggage office?
My God. I'm going to give you your 1,000 francs, and you're going to give me the only remaining photocopy of this document. And if the thought should cross your mind, the faintest notion that it might be profitable to take a second copy...
I protest, I'm a man of honor.
Let's hope so. Otherwise, these people would... You understand?
Oh, quite so.
They're just not like the rest of us.
Not like... No.
No, they kill without compunction. And now one final question. Who was it?
Monseigneur Gérard? Yes, he is. London.
Oh, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Hello? Oh, hello, Greg. What's the weather been like? Has it? 234 all that. Well, not so good, eh? Listen, I've got a name for you. Sir Peter Quigley. You'll need to draw a red card from the chief, then get across to Central Information. Yes, I want this fellow Quigley turned inside out. He might be our man. Everything, yes. What? Well, you'll just have to get him out of bed. And listen, you'll also need a special search warrant for a visit to Victoria Station, left luggage office. I know it's not easy at this time of night, but it's important. Okay. Nobody wants to get the chief out of bed.
This is foolish.
You don't know our chief. Yes, Greg. Yes, okay. Look for a briefcase or bag containing a 140-page typed report prepared by the Anglo-French Institute of Oceanographic Research. O-C-E-A-N-O-graphic. No. C for cat. Well, how the hell would I know? You're tired. I'm tired. We're all bloody tired. All right. Yes, okay. No, I'll be getting the first flight in the morning. Yes, Heathrow. What? Yes, just in time for breakfast. See you then. Okay, let's get these forms completed. Right, where were we?
Days too late. Thursday, he said. Your other lot picked it up.
What other lot? I was there. I went with the, you know, what's his name? The new fella.
Ogden.
Yeah, I went with Ogden. It took 2 hours to find someone to open up. We weren't popular.
Did you get anything?
Nah, that's useless. Had to collar the station master. 2 men, he said. Special authorization from the Home Office. Well, I pressed him a bit. He was very stiff and defensive about the whole thing. Well, he didn't like to think he'd bought a forged warrant. Said he just assumed. They were both tall fellas, anyway. One of them thin on top. We're in trouble, you know that? That request of yours, Sir Peter Quigley.
What about it?
Well, he's on the restricted list. No confidential information available. So we put in a general reference, a yellow. Well, they couldn't refuse that. Within half an hour, the assistant commissioner's on the line, wanting to know the nature of our inquiries. Not a reassuring experience. The chief's worried sick.
Never mind the chief. What did you find out about Quigley?
Well, nothing much. Educated at Winchester, went on to Trinity, then Dartmouth. 7 years with the fleet, reached the rank of lieutenant commander. Active diplomatic career, lovely marriage. Fond of blood sports. Hey, but that's not all. You like this, it adds a touch of refinement. He writes poetry, publishes under the pseudonym Nigel Fox. Hey, are you listening?
What's his job?
I thought you already knew. He's executive director of Operation Yeoman at the Admiralty.
Say it again. Slowly.
Executive director of Operation Yeoman at the Admiralty.
Greg, listen to me.
Yeah?
3 weeks ago, Quigley attended a secret conference at the Institute of Oceanography in Marseille. He was given a highly confidential report detailing the latest research developments in deep water communication systems. But before returning to London, he visited a local prostitute and left a copy of the report in her bedroom.
Look, hang about a minute. I'm feeling a bit thick-headed. I mean, if this is a security matter, how come we're involved? And what's the connection between Quigley and our murder victim, Rene Paco?
Paco got hold of the report.
He came to London with the intention of selling it back to Quigley. Paco was just naive enough to attempt something like that.
Look, you do know this. I mean, this isn't the time for inspired guesswork.
I'm carrying a photocopy of the report in my suitcase.
So Quigley arranged to have Paco murdered?
Oh, I don't know, Greg. The more I think about it, the less sense it makes. There's a gaping hole in all this, and we're being sucked into it. And I still can't think why.
Come in. Stranger, bad time. What the devil's going on? I had the assistant commissioner on the phone demanding an explanation. You put the cat among the pigeons, my lad. Stirred up a hornet's nest.
You're mixing your metaphors, Chief.
Damn right I am. If ever a situation called for mixed metaphors, this is it. Oh, sit down. You look worn out. Oh, I haven't slept a wink all night myself. This chap Quigley. Damned important, you know that. On a sticky wicket, my lad. Best keep a straight bat. Play down the line. Now, no jokes. Not in the mood. The assistant commissioner expects me to call back.
It's still our case, then?
Hmm? Yes. Heard nothing to the contrary. What's going on? What's our interest in Sir Peter Quigley?
He's intimately connected with the Paco murder.
How?
It's a long story, Chief. Before I go into it, you'd better take a look at this.
Saltwater resistance levels. Avoidance of satellite scanners. Spatio-temporal continuum and general system of related determinants. What the devil is it all about?
Put crudely, it's about increasing the efficiency of our nuclear deterrent. But that's only part of the story.
Send Inspector Stranger in, please.
Yes, sir. The Assistant Commissioner will see you now, Inspector.
Thanks.
Inspector Stranger, you know who I am?
Yes, sir.
And this is Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith?
Inspector? Oh, would you mind?
No, not at all.
I prefer to keep it informal. Do sit down, Inspector. Smoke if you wish.
I don't smoke.
Very wise. Now, I dare say you're wondering exactly what my interest is. But first, let me congratulate you on a splendid piece of detective work. It was imperative that all copies of the Institute report be recovered. We are, I think I may include the Assistant Commissioner in those remarks.
The investigation isn't finished yet, Mr. Smith.
Of course. You're thinking quite naturally. Well, now, how best to explain? On occasions, that is, when the interests of the state are threatened, and particularly when those interests concern matters of defense, it is occasionally my duty to instigate extreme protective measures. That is, do I make myself clear?
Sorry, Mr. Smith, I don't quite
follow. No? Well, then, let me put things more plainly. If you would consider the matter dispassionately, I'm sure you will appreciate there was no other choice but to effect Mr. Paco's removal.
Removal?
I think you have my meaning, Inspector.
What?
It was quite impossible for us to tolerate such a document remaining in the hands of a known criminal.
What? You killed him for that?
His assassination was authorized, yes.
Who the hell are you? I can't believe this. Why, there was never any need. It would have been a simple matter to have warned him off. You'd already recovered his copy of the report from the left luggage office at Victoria Station.
My explanation may not seem entirely satisfactory, Inspector. However, I must ask you to accept it as it stands.
No, Mr. Smith. I want the truth. Not some pieces of sophisticated claptrap. You had Paco killed to cover up a blunder by your executive director, Sir Peter Quigley, because Quigley was stupid enough to leave his briefcase in the bedroom of a Marseille prostitute.
May I remind you, whatever your lack of respect for my position, that you are in the presence of your commanding officer. Assistant Commissioner, if you don't mind, I have a luncheon appointment in 20 minutes.
One moment, Mr. Smith. Sit down again, Inspector. Now, Mr. Smith, it was your decision to involve Inspector Stranger in this business. I think he's entitled to a full explanation.
You are not, I trust, prepared to detain me against my will.
Until we are fully satisfied, Mr. Smith.
I repeat,
it was your decision to involve members of the force.
I see. I see I'm outflanked. I only hope our lord and master appreciates the irony of the situation.
Don't worry about that, Mr. Smith. I'll speak to him personally.
Then on your head be it. Inspector?
Nothing you've said makes any sense. None of it explains why Paco was gunned down in public.
Well, perhaps some background information is required if you're to comprehend the complications with which we were faced. For years, it's been the assumed policy of all Western governments, and Britain in particular, to pass on selected items in nuclear research information to South Africa. It was felt, whether correctly or not, is of no immediate concern, that South Africa had an important role to play in the defense of Western interests. This policy has since been reversed.
Go on.
Sir Peter was very much opposed to this reversal of defense policy. He argued that whatever the evils of apartheid, South Africa remained a vital strategic outpost requiring our tacit support. Perhaps you might care to look at this photograph.
Who is she?
Her name is Elaine Kruger.
Elaine?
An agent for South Africa's National Intelligence Service. At the time of the Institute conference, she was known to be visiting Marseille.
You're saying Quigley intended passing on information to this girl?
That is my belief. But, as you so aptly put it a few minutes ago, he blundered. Without wishing to be vulgar, I think we may assume Sir Peter ended up in the wrong bed.
It still doesn't make sense. Why kill René Paco?
For exactly the opposite reason to that which you suggested, Inspector. Sir Peter is a powerful man. It would be difficult to gauge the precise limits of his influence. Suffice to say, departmental investigations of the orthodox type would most certainly have been quashed. Was therefore necessary to devise some other means of exposing his perfidy. Paco was killed in order to open up a case against Sir Peter.
As a pawn in your game.
If you wish.
Oh, this is madness, all of it. Why the public execution? Why cause so much unnecessary distress to those people who witnessed it?
Maximum shock effect was considered essential. As things stood, we had evidence of incompetence, not proof of treachery. Paco's assassination and the press and television coverage it attracted sounded the alarm bell. It demonstrated to Sir Peter that we would stop at nothing. Can't you see that? It put a noose about his neck, one which he would feel tightening as the hours passed. When your department applied for a red card, his nerve finally broke. He made a hurried attempt to contact a security official at the South African embassy. The line was, of course, bugged. But why are you staring at me like that, Inspector? The man was a traitor.
I wasn't thinking of him.
What happens now, Mr. Smith?
Well, that rather depends on our masters, Assistant Commissioner. And now I really must go.
There you are. Your wife said I might find you here.
Hello, Bighty.
Hello, Chief. One or two small perch. Nothing worth keeping.
Long time since I did any fishing. Last time, when was it? Ireland, Clonmel.
Beautiful river.
Let's go back there one day. Seen the papers?
Only the sports page. What's happened?
Item in today's Financial Times. Sir Peter Quigley has resigned. He's taken up an appointment with the Transvaal Gold Mining Corporation. Huh. Inevitable, I suppose. Something like that.
Everything's inevitable with hindsight. That just about wraps it up, then.
Not quite. Had a chat with Sergeant Gregory, thought we might be interested in tracing Smith's cronies. Unofficial, of course. A tall, bald man, fellow who drove the car. Mrs. Pine recognized him from some pictures we showed her. He was in New Hoare, near Weybridge. Married, 3 children.
Weybridge?
Yeah. Ring a bell?
Vaguely. Can't think why. And what about the other man?
Nothing yet. They keep those types well hidden. Damn villains, the lot of them. We'll find him.
Why, Chief? We can't touch either of them.
Tidying up loose ends, my lad. Habit. Then again, these security people, they need to operate in the dark.
You're going to blow their cover?
Idea did occur to me. Nice, neat report passed on to the Home Office. Copy kept in our files, of course. Call it an insurance policy.
I never knew you could be so devious, Chief.
Have to be, my lad. Can't have these fellas messing us about. Oh, well, back to the office, I suppose. Enjoy your fishing.
Yes, Chief. I will. Now, where did I put those maggots?
That was Stranger in the Dark by Robert Garrett. Inspector Stranger was played by Tony Asoba, Sergeant Gregory by Sean Probert, Chief Inspector Morris by Alan Rowe, and Detective Constable Rose by Jane Knowles. Detective Constable Dick was played by Adrian Egan, Dr. Hamilton and Mr. Smith by Leslie Heritage, the landlord, Harold, Cabrini, and the solicitor by Cyril Shapps, Ogden and a Man in the Pub by John Wheatley, Artazul, Joe, and the Caller by Tony McEwen, Gaston by Robin Soans, Jean by Judy Parkin, Colin by Jill Lidston, Mrs. Pine and Doris by Sonia Fraser, Paco, Mr. Pine, and the Assistant Commissioner by Crawford Logan, and Hélène and the Barmaid by Jenny Lee. The play was directed by Christopher Venning.